Welcome to a new episode of Product Directions Podcast, 100 Product Strategies. We are your insider access to top product leaders shaping the strategy of the most diverse industries today. I'm your host, Nacho Vassino, and I'll be digging into the real-life situations, problems, and frameworks used for strategy with product people all around the world in all kinds of products and markets. While there is no recipe for success, listening to others' experiences may give you the edge you need to solve your next strategic challenge. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of 100 Product Strategies. Today, I'm having the pleasure of sharing my secret project behind the podcast. So I will not be interviewing anyone. It's just a very special episode. And I wanted to give you a sneak peek of what I have been doing behind the scenes. So for each of our guests and each of our interviews, I have been collecting, of course, the takeaways that you may have seen in the Substack space, but also categorizing the strategies, trying to understand what was the market, the industry, the client type, and some of the tools that this particular leader was using when doing so. So I created a Notion page with all these typification of strategies, which goal is to have examples from many different industries, perspectives, contexts that you can leverage on your own work. So, for example, if you are trying to uncover more of how a B2B software as a service may do something, you may actually pick that specific chapter or episode from the library. And of course, you will be able to see the particular sets of parameters that they are using. For example, what are they using for the insights? What are they using? What's the time frame that this particular leader was using? What are other tools or key challenges they were trying to overcome? So I hope this is going to be super useful. It has been so far for me. So I actually, as I was saying, the secret project behind the podcast was gathering more of these examples that, as I said in the introduction, is something that I don't see that we have that much. But essentially, this Notion page will guide you through what may be more relevant for you, even though I will say I think that having different perspective from even different industries can be super helpful. But in this case, if you are looking for something more targeted, this is a great way to see it. Beyond that, I will stop sharing my screen in case you're seeing this and kind of sharing the Notion page that will be attached to the episode notes. But beyond that, I wanted to share a few insights of the episode so far. So my learnings from these 30 episodes and some interesting trends that I think that you may find useful. So the first thing that was remarkable to me is that in most of the episodes, if not all, I don't want to say all, just to be cautious, but you can perceive how the leaders were following a process for creating their strategy that resembles something like the one I described in the book Product Direction. So you can see how they start by trying to understand the landscape, which is the insights phase, and we can cover later how many tools we find there. They then do some sort of narrow down, so they do some sort of selection, and in this selection, many tools are used as well. There are the ones selecting more given the vision, so trying to get closer to the vision. There are others trying to select more by ROI and business driven. There are some of them more focused on the customer problem and what's there. And usually it's a combination of all of them, right? So it's not like we are only selecting or prioritizing in one particular way. But that was also interesting that the second step after finding the insight was, okay, what do we focus on? And this strive to have a clear and strong focus was there present in almost all of the strategies. And then finally, in terms of defining goals, again, this is something that all of the leaders had some sort of, okay, how do we know if we are succeeding sort of thing? And they share that to the rest of the organization through some sort of synthesis, which sometimes can take the form of a deck. Sometimes it's a one-pager. Sometimes it was a written narrative. So there are different examples all over the place that basically were following the same principle. So you can see that this path to create a strategy is present in most of them. And of course, during the interviews, I was trying to carve out how they did certain parts. So yeah, in summary, the really good news is that there is a way that is structured and is somewhat repeatable to tackle this strategic challenge. The second takeaway that I wanted to highlight was the differences in different approaches depending on the industry and the client type, you know, especially important, sometimes the maturity of the company. And those variances are related to both the tools we are using and the scope of a strategy. So, for example, in the episode with David Pereira, we were discussing cars marketplace in a very young startup, and the strategy was, or the summary of the strategy was a few bullets, and the time horizon was between 3 and 6 months, and they pretended to learn from that and keep iterating, keep solidifying it. But the strategy was there, the focus was present, and it was just simple because the size of the company and the problem was very clear. Whereas we went from, for example, Zalando in the very first episode, just to mention a big one, in which, of course, this also is kind of B2C sort of type. Of course, both Zalando and the car marketplace have many different clients. But in this case, it was interesting to see the perspective from the client side or the B2C side. But the strategy was very complex, was intertwined with different initiative cross-company, so dependency play a big factor. The strategy aimed to be a bit longer lived, so there was this aim for clarity for 1 year, but a bit more of where we are going, so having some specs for the 18-24 month period sort of time frame. And the collaboration was done in a big document by multiple players. So there was the product part, but also the business owners, stakeholders, and other people, operations, and all the people that had a say was participating and collaborating in this big document. So again, different sizes have an interesting impact on the scope of the strategy and the length or the time horizon of strategy. And furthermore, I think that it was interesting to intertwine that with different episodes in which we saw that the different bets for different time horizons. So, for example, when discussing in episode 6 with Nina, she was sharing how they had their own flavor of the 70-20-10 approach, like Google, like, for example, investing 70% in growing their current business, 20% in some adjacent bets, and 10% in some longer horizon ideas. So this also played out in some other episodes, and you may be able to find it in the Notion site. But it's interesting that there is this spirit of, hey, we are creating a strategy, and as a product team, we are not only focusing on the short term, we also need to take a look at how we will make profits in the future, because we will need to start that, building that feature today. So third interesting point was I was saying in the first one that the variety of tools used for insights was pretty amazing. I found some of them that I would like to highlight. For example, the approach with jobs to be done. And so there were two things to highlight there. The first one is that many leaders are mapping the opportunity space, some using some sort of opportunity tree, like the one from Teresa Torres, but others are using different ways to map it. So, for example, in the episode with Julia Bastian, she was mapping it per domain, which I think is pretty smart, because if not, you may have something that is a mayhem. On the episode with Alessandro Pintaudi, he was mapping it through the shops to be done tree, so that was very smart as well, something that I learned for the first time. Instead of having one job to be done and trying to say how the different needs connect, they were putting this big job to be done with a second layer of smaller jobs to be done, and even further if it was the case, and connecting the opportunities to those sub-level jobs to be done. So the driver of the tree from the user needs perspective was the job to be done, which was pretty interesting. And maybe following on this one, the episode with Deliver with Niels was quite interesting as well, because he highlighted that there's not only one tree that we can really follow to map everything, or said another way, we may need to map things from different perspective depending on what we are doing. So he highlighted the typical opportunity tree, which is more related to the outcomes we are pursuing, so the desired outcome we are trying to achieve. He highlighted this jobs to be done tree, that's again more focused on the ultimate customer need. But also he mentioned what he called the product tree, which is basically surfacing the bottom-up needs that's coming from the product. So when the product starts having some feature debts or experience debts, this is an interesting way because it's sometimes maybe hard to map to a shop with them, sometimes maybe hard to map to a desired outcome, but essentially it's something that we can map. We know that we have some ways to prioritize, at least visualize this work, and eventually it's something interesting to prioritize as well. Maybe continuing on this, since I'm already talking about the difference in the insights part, also in the selection part was quite interesting. And the first thing I want to highlight is that we had some episodes highlighting the play to win framework, especially the one with Stuart. It was a very kind of interesting walkthrough through all the steps. So that's an interesting way to think about this. Is kind of not a selection tool because it covers all the process, but it highlights a way to select the key topics. But I think what's also interesting, as I was saying before, some of the leaders are focusing more on this sort of matrix with impact and effort. So trying to really nail down the impact for the business. And this is interesting because what they are trying to do ultimately is having a common language with stakeholders. And this is super valuable. I mean, if you are a leader, at some point in time, you need to have this discussion. So is this really valuable? So we can discuss the vision all day long, and we can have this North Star to guide our selection. But at the end of the day, when we are comparing different things, having some sort of framework to compare, it's super important. But maybe going back to that other ones that may be more visionary, I think that the most interesting part was when the selection was mixed with the written narrative. So we have a couple of examples from Tado and then later from Toby explaining, like, say, starting with a white page and doing a written narrative more in the what's known as the Amazon format, trying to write this six-pager or so that explains what we are trying to achieve and what obstacles we need to overcome to do so. So I think in that sense, having the intention to uncover the key challenges to achieve a desired vision, that's what was driving these sort of selections. And what was interesting is that, or the way this tool may help you is that you cannot just kind of put a bunch of bullets or a bunch of images in a PowerPoint. So behind the scenes, the written narrative is very powerful because you need to justify with words, and those words need to be very carefully thought, and you need to really explain what's behind the scenes. So of course, my argument is that you can still do that heavy thinking on a PowerPoint. So I'm not saying that the PowerPoint is mindless at any rate. I use it a lot. But on the other hand, you need to have this underlying narrative, even if you're using the PowerPoints. So I think that the key message there is trying to, whatever you do with the selection, trying to be very explicit on why you are selecting it and connecting the dots for this reasoning that you are having. Yeah, and keeping this episode short, I think one of the last takeaways I wanted to mention, because there are so many, I can be speaking maybe another 2 hours and repeating the episodes themselves. I would really like for you to navigate the Notion site and find the episodes that might be relevant for you. But one highlight that I think was very, very important is that in many, many episodes, we get this feeling of strategy is not a one-off exercise. And I think it's important from two angles. The first one is removing the fear that the decisions you are putting in the strategy are set in stone and will not be moved. It's similar to the problems with the roadmap, you know, that the roadmap, once you write it there, you will be held accountable for a date. So the strategy seems to be the same. Once you put it there, it's a selection that you cannot go back to. And this is not the case. I mean, we are doing exactly this exercise of selecting on a focus. Of course, we want to make that selection as informed as possible, but at the end of the day, it's a bet. And we will start rolling with that bet, and we will learn more from that bet, and we may say, hey, no, this wasn't right, and we can go back and change it. So it's not a, I think when we say this 12-month strategy, it's not really a 12-month strategy. It's a plan to start working. Of course, you want to have a time horizon or a visibility of the future, but the sooner you start playing with it, the sooner you will learn how valuable it was. So trying to remove this fear of making a commitment or a selection, I think is super important. And the second one is maybe super related. You will not be able to select with all the information. So removing this analysis paralysis thingy, you will need to refine your strategy as you go. So you will make a selection. And in the previous case, I was mentioning more of a pivot, you know, so you kind of learn something that you need to go back to the whiteboard and redo the strategy. But there's also the other case as well, that you start working with a strategy, you start gaining more insights that make this selection that you make stronger, but you want to include in your strategy document, summary, synthesis, whatever, the information you gather from the ground. So you are enriching your strategy with the things you are learning. So this was very, very valuable for these two reasons. I think that we need to, I mean, I also mentioned this in the book, but I think that having this clarity from the leaders saying this to you, if you're listening to this and having this problem, or to other leaders that may be facing this, I think it's super strong, because at the end of the day, we are all learning as we do. And this learning is something that we should include in our strategies. So I'm probably leaving out many, many comments and many, many episodes that were super interesting. I think that the richness is not in my generic takeaways, but on the examples that were given. So I really encourage you to go through them. For example, I mentioned the shops to be done exercise. You really need to hear the example from Alessandro to really grasp it. Or, for example, I was not explaining anything about the episode with Diogo Novaes from Nike. That was super interesting because it was the running up. Because it was super interesting to learn how they drive value from the, or how they try to understand the value that the social activities were playing. And this intertwine of metrics to leverage insights was also super interesting, but it's only interesting if you are listening to the example. I can say, yes, it's important to leverage insights from the data, but when you go to the example and see the complexities they were having and how they solved it, how they tackled the challenge by having a very strong alignment with the data analytics, was super, super valuable. So yeah, I don't want to keep rambling. I think that this episode with these small takeaways is useful, but also that the Notion site with the possibility to explore specific episodes according to your needs will be very valuable as well. And we are taking a small summer break, but you will hear our next episode in a month. So see you back on September. I hope you enjoyed this episode of 100 Product Strategies, the podcast by Product Direction. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram to get access to free weekly content that helps product people upgrade their skills and become more successful. You can access more material, promotional trainings, and be notified of every episode of the show with Product Direction's weekly newsletter. Join thousands of product leaders by registering in productdirection.co.